Beloved, welcome to another edition of the St. James Missionary Baptist Church podcast. This special podcast that we're doing this week as we bring forth the seven last words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the cross. We, as we stated on our previous podcast, we look at these seven words also as acts of love, seven acts of love of our Lord and Savior from the Christ, excuse me, from the cross. Before I go any further, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for giving us another day, another opportunity to be able to bring forth your word, Heavenly Father, and we pray that you allow it to go forth as you want it to go forth, that it is received, Father, the way you would have it to be received. For we know that Satan is indeed the prince of the power of the air, and often he tries to change words between when they go forth and then when they receive from the other end. So Lord, we're praying that you would bless, this conversation, this podcast, these words, as they go forth. I pray, Lord, that you would touch me and allow me to do that which you would have me to do this time. And that is to give forth your word, Heavenly Father, your way. Let it be in agreement with your will, Lord. I pray that I can do this void of my pride, my vanity, my ego, Lord. But praying always, always to some soul be edified, sanctified, that you be glorified. For this I do pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Again, our podcast this week is all surrounding the seven last words of Jesus from the cross. We're at the second word today. And we know that our podcast theme is how important is the word of God to you when it comes to and that's when we add whatever our topic is. And today, our topic is the word of salvation. So how important is the word of God to you when it comes to the word of salvation? This word was spoken by our Lord on the cross, and you can find it in the Gospel of Luke, the 23rd chapter, and the 43rd verse. And there you will find these words written. Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Again, you'll find these words written in the Gospel of St. Luke, the 23rd chapter and the 43rd verse. What is also so unique about this particular word, as these words were spoken to a thief, to someone who went against the law of the land. And I don't know what he stole. I don't know if this was his first offense or one of many offenses, because it seems pretty extreme to have stole something and wind up on the cross crucified for it. Either it was something of value, or like what happens to so many people today, he's done this so often and they might have been after him and they finally caught him and said, no, we're tired of you and what you've been doing. This will put an end to that. I don't know. It doesn't say. All I know is that he's on the cross, the most cruelest form of punishment and torture of that day. And that's where he was, hanging on the cross, on the right side of our Lord and Savior. That's where he was. Now, I want us to also remember something. Because this is about Jesus. We know that while he's on that cross, we know that there were religious leaders, soldiers, and all types of people mocking him, saying, if you were so powerful, if you was all this, you'll come down from there. You'll bring yourself down. Okay, you'll do this. You wouldn't even allow yourself to go through all of this. But yet there you are, people saying all types of things about Jesus. Even, now watch this, one of those thieves, one of those malefactors, and you see right there in the 23rd, in this very same Gospel of Luke, the 23rd chapter, the 39th verse, listen to this. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us, if you be Christ." Now, he knew who Jesus was, but did he believe? Did he believe in him? No. If you be Christ. And to say it in such a way, do I would say he railed on it today would be like, oh, well, if you're Christ, why don't you just come on down, take us too, save us from this terrible torture, this punishment that we're going through. But wow, this thief was saying what he was saying. The criminal who was hanging on the right side of Jesus, the thief that was on the other side, he speaks up for Jesus. Now I want y'all to get this. Don't miss this. Now you said this is supposed to be about Jesus. It is. I want you to watch what happens here. He speaks up for Jesus. Now he didn't ask Jesus to save him. He didn't even ask Jesus to save himself. He didn't ask any of that. Watch what's going on here. Okay, now he's in pain also, hanging up there just like Jesus. Okay, this excruciatingly painful and shameful death. There he is up there on his cross. But watch this, he didn't try to make any kind of excuse or give a reason why he was sentenced, try to, say maybe I shouldn't be here. No, he didn't do any of that. But watch what he said when he spoke. He said, not to Jesus, not at first. Now you have to picture this in your mind. He's on this side. I don't know how far apart these crosses were, but he's on the right side of Jesus. Jesus is in the middle. And over there on the other side is that one who's railing and the one who's being sarcastic, the one who's saying, oh, if you all are there, why don't you? He's doing all these words he's saying. But this thief, pain, as much pain as he's in, you can kind of see him maybe turning his head, almost looking past Jesus, trying to see that thief on the other side there. There was a few people there around. I don't know how many there were. Maybe they were visiting other people that were in the same predicament, but there were some people around there. But this man right now, his focus wasn't on any of them. Didn't care about who was around, who heard him. I'm on the cross. Death is going to be my final destination. That's what he realizes. You can't do anything more to me. Maybe come by if I keep hanging in there and break my bones. That's what they would do. You got to imagine your weight coming down on your legs while you're hanging there. And if you're taking too long, they'll come break your bones. Yeah. So now you're going to not only be in more pain, but that should speed up your death process. Okay. But he's going leaning forward, looking over, saying, don't you fear God? This is what he said. Since you are under the same sentence, I want you to hear this. Don't miss this. We are punished justly. For we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing. Nothing wrong. My. I want you to hear what this man is saying. This man has done nothing wrong. What we are getting, we deserve to get. Here's what he's saying. I want you to hear this. Now, after he made that declaration right there, as he's going forward, while he's saying that, looking past Jesus, talking about him, but looking past him, having his words directed to that thief over there. Okay. Then he spoke to Jesus. Now you're saying to yourself, oh, yeah, here he is now. Here he is now. Now it's time to ask for the Lord to spare him. Didn't ask that. Remember, he had already confessed that, yeah, he deserves what he's getting. He did wrong. He's transgressed the law. He transgressed the law, and this was his punishment. Okay? He knew that Jesus didn't do anything wrong. He had no business being there. So after he said that, made that declaration, and said that, now his attention is going towards Jesus. And this is what he said to Jesus. Now listen, don't, like I said, don't miss this. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That's what he said to Jesus. Now we're going to look at how important these words are, but this is what he said to Jesus. But what's so important, what's most important, is what Jesus said to him. Okay, in spite of the suffering that Jesus is going through, spite of the pain that he's in, listen to what he said to this thief. He said, truly, I say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise. Today. Not next week, not tomorrow, not later on. Like today, you'll be with me in paradise. Now, I've heard people say that Jesus made an exception in this thief's case when it comes to, coming to the Lord. In this day and time, some of you in your churches, and you've heard it said, and maybe even in done in other churches, you've got to come up, maybe say the sinner's prayer and come and make your testimony, and you have to say this and say that in order to even be a candidate for baptism, let alone a membership into a local church. But we're talking about becoming a part of the body of Christ, the church, his bride. Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. The same Jesus who told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And some people have the audacity to say, well, Jesus made an exception in his case. Did he? Did he? Did he? You say, well, yes, the word is plain. You have to believe. It's not that, once you believe, yes, you can get baptized. It's not the baptism that saves. It's your belief. You've got to believe in order to be saved. Well, let's look again. Let's look at what was said there. Take a good look. One, he said, don't you fear God? Remember he said that to Steve? This man was speaking to the other thief, which means that anybody in earshot could hear what was being said. He didn't care. He didn't care. The words he was saying them publicly. There's no way. He didn't have a choice. He's hanging on the cross. Okay, if nobody else was around, we know that Mary and John, it was like four people around the cross, around there. Mary, John, and a couple of others that were there. Okay, we know that. But he wasn't concerned about them. His focus was getting on this other thief who said what he said, and now talking to Jesus. Now, one of the things he said, "Don't you fear God?" I want y'all to get, don't miss what he said. They said, "Well, what do you mean? Is he considering that God, Jesus is God? Or is he looking at Jesus as a representative of God? What did he believe here?" The key thing here, he believed. He believed God, that Jesus was either God or the representative from him. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Then he said, "What? We are punished justly. For we're getting, okay, what our deeds deserved." He owned and confessed his sin right there for everybody to hear it. Right there. Our deeds, what we did was wrong. It was against the law. I don't know. It was just what the sin was. I don't know. Maybe he felt it was against God's law as well. I don't know. But all I do know is he owned up to his wrongness. He's confessing his sin openly. And also accepting his punishment. I don't know. Now he said, "Oh, I hadn't looked at it like that. Let's look a little bit further." Then he turned around and said, "But this man," he couldn't point, but kind of maybe looking as much as well as he could. "Okay, but this man has done nothing wrong." He stated this. He declared this. Didn't care who heard him. He has done nothing wrong. He's got no business being here. He's got no business hanging up here with us. He's done nothing wrong. Then he focused his words to Jesus. And this is what he said to Jesus. "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Now let's see what's so important about this. Remember, he said to the thief, "Don't you fear God?" But look at how he addresses Jesus. "Lord." Don't take these things for granted. This, I believe in my very soul, that this man knew exactly what he was saying. I don't know if he was part of the 5,000. I don't know if he was part of the 4,000. I don't know who this man was, but he's heard about Jesus. He knew about him. And I don't know. I've said this to many people. I don't know, but I know what he's saying. I'm hearing what he's saying. "Lord, remember me." Now, some of y'all saying, "Yes, well, he's saying, well, if the Lord would just remember a poor little thief." I don't know. Like I said, maybe he was part of the 5,000. Maybe he's one of those who the word of God got to him and the roots didn't grow deep. But I know that he believed God and he called Jesus Lord. I don't take that lightly. Then he asked him to remember me. Y'all say, "Well, remember me." I don't know what he meant by that. Ask yourself a question. What did Hezekiah say on his bed of affliction? Remember. There's something about asking God to remember you. Remember who I was. Remember what I did. Maybe he's saying, "Oh, remember me. I was one in that 5,000. I was one in that 4,000. I was one of those, okay, that was saying, Hosanna. Hosanna. I was going to just remember me." But look what else. He didn't just say keep him on his mind. Remember him when you enter your kingdom. This man knew that Jesus has a kingdom. He's a hazard, it's gonna happen, but he knew that. This man knew a lot about Jesus. He had heard him. I don't know if he heard Jesus himself preaching or teaching, but he heard and he believed. And he said, if you go into your kingdom, when you enter your kingdom, he believed that he was talking to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. When you enter your kingdom, remember me. Now, I want you to take a note. Like I said, he didn't call Jesus by name. He didn't say Jesus like they were good buddies and good friends. Okay. Didn't even call him teacher. Like I said, he called him Lord. And he also believed that Jesus either has had or would have a kingdom. Somewhere, somehow, this thief knew about Jesus. He showed the world that he not only believed in the Lord, but he believed the Lord. We just talked about this. There's a lot of people talk about, oh, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus. But do you believe him when he says something? Do you believe what he said? This man believed when you enter your kingdom. He believed Jesus. He believed that he was King of Kings. He called him what? Lord. He believed he was Savior. He was God. Because that's what he said to the thief over yonder. Don't you fear God? Do not take these words lightly, beloved. What does the word say to us in 1 John? People saying that, okay, Jesus made an exception for him because what? His member Jesus gave him his membership in heaven solely. On what? He say so? Listen. When we look at what this thief said, everything that he said right here. While hanging on the cross, let me tell you something. Many churches would accept anyone who said what this thief said as a candidate for membership solely on their profession of faith. You show me the preacher that preached the word, and this man came up and would give such a testimony as this. If he had never been baptized, he said, listen, you can come on the profession of your faith as a candidate for baptism. And if you were to be a member of this branch of Zion, you're welcome. Just what this man said. When you look at everything he said, he recognized Jesus as Lord. He recognized him as God. He recognized, okay, his wrong, confessed his sin. What does it say in 1 John 1 9? If we confess our sins, now watch this. If we confess our sins, he, Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us. Forgive us our sins. That was good enough. But watch this. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This man did that. He confessed his sin. And right then and there, Jesus forgave him, cleansed him. Why? How? Because he could. People fail to forget, I mean, fail to remember that Jesus, just like he was all man, he's also all God. Okay? Don't forget that. Okay? Jesus did this. Why do we know he did it? What did he say to that man? Today, you'll be with me in paradise. And you could not come here unless I bring you. And you could not and would not be unless you've been born again. Don't neglect that, beloved. Jesus did this You see, the second word, it's not just about salvation. It is. But it is also about forgiveness. What wonderful faith this repentant sinner had in Jesus. When you see everything that he just said in that little short bit, those little handful of words, powerful, powerful words. This thief may not have known what he was doing, but he found out that he was talking to the only one who could save his soul. Even in the state that he was in right there. Oh, this gives us such hope to realize that we can be going through so much, so much. You know, some people don't believe that you'd be going so much that your very heart aches. It's not just physical pain. It's mental anguish, spiritual anguish. And you're saying to yourself, what worse thing could a man go through than to be crucified? But in that circumstance, in that situation, he gained entry into paradise. He gained entry to be with Jesus. When this chapter we call life here on earth is closed, when he's done suffering, he's done with pain, he's going to be with Jesus. When some of you are looking forward to being able to say, oh, I'm so glad I prayed that prayer of salvation one day. I'm so glad I prayed that sinner's prayer. I'm so glad that I believed the Roman road, and I'm so glad of all of that. As you look around, and then you may look around and see this fella. Well, what are you so glad about? He will say, listen, I'm just so glad that that guy that was in the middle, the one y'all call Savior, told me I could be here. He told me that I got a place here. I didn't know about a whole bunch of teachings. I didn't know about a whole lot of doctrine. I didn't know a whole lot of scripture. But I'm so glad I knew the one. I got a chance to meet him in the worst of situations. And he didn't just give me an invitation to come here. He brought me here. He brought me here to paradise. Jesus, he told this man, truly, truly, I'm saying to you, without a shadow of a doubt, I want you to get this. This is what he said to this man. Sure enough. Yes, as we hang on this cross, as we hang here suffering in pain, I want you to know that this very day, you'll be with me in paradise. You believe. You weren't ashamed to show your belief. You weren't ashamed to admit and confess your sins. You acknowledge me as God, as Lord. You know me as King. You recognize that. Oh no, you come with me. You'll be with me. How many of us today, in the midst of our circumstance, in the midst of what we're going through, I don't care if you've lost a loved one, if you had that pain in your heart, that emptiness in your heart from that, if you're going through what seems to be things that are impossible, you find that I can't even see any light at the end of this tunnel. But you still believe God. I didn't say you still believe in God. I said you still believe him. That means you believe what he says in this word. You believe that he's with you. You believe that he's not forsaking you. You believe that he can supply all of your need. You believe that he is greater than your circumstance. Just like this man believed, you believe. I believe. I don't want to be put on a cross to show the world that I believe. Some of you feel as though you're already bearing your cross. But you got to believe. This man believed. And you see how he was blessed. I don't want the Lord to tell me right now that today I could be with him in paradise. But if he deemed that I leave here today, so be it. I have no say in that. But I do want him to say to me that when your time is finished, when your suffering's over, when your pain is over, your physical, your mental, your spiritual pains are done, you'll be with me in paradise. Because you didn't just believe in me, you believed me. You believed me when I told you to grow. You believed me when I told you to use your gift. You believed me when I told you to live in such a manner that I can get the glory and honor out of your life. You believed me. You believed me when I told you. Okay, that I have rewards for you. I have blessings for you. I can pour out blessings you don't even have room to receive it. You believe me. Folks laughed at you. They ridiculed you. But you still believed me. How many of you today are willing to still look and seek God in the midst of your circumstance? Are you still willing to trust God and believe that he's with you? He was with this man on the cross, and look what happened. Suffering, in the midst of their suffering, they got he got salvation, and he got eternal life in the midst of the worst circumstance a person could have felt that they could be in at that time. I'm here to let you know that whatever it is you may be going through, whatever type of suffering and anguish and pain that you're going through, Jesus can go right through all of that and supply your need, not just your heavenly need. Or we can go through the scriptures. You know the many stories. To be in a fiery furnace. Not only not burning up, not even your clothes smell like smoke. Jesus, keeping his word, I'm with you. So whatever it is you're going through, just know. Just believe. And look forward to one day hearing Jesus say, not just well done, but hear him say, enter into my joy today. When your life is finished here, when your voice is hushed, eyes closed, open no more on this side. And hear Jesus say, today you'll be with me in paradise. God bless you, beloved. The second word, the second action of our Lord and Savior, second action of love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the cross. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for even making a way for us. The way, the only way to get from earth to glory. We thank you for shedding your precious blood for us, for dying on the cross for us, for me. I thank you. And Lord, I pray that even as we go through this day, we can do so living, walking in your spirit, governing ourselves in such a manner that even those who don't know you will be able to see you through us, that you can get the glory out of our life living. Thank you. We praise you. And we pray all of this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.